Hey, Darren.
Oh, hey, Justin.
Oh, it is that time again. The third, check the calendar. Yeah, the third week of the month.
It's crazy how that keeps happening.
I know, almost like clockwork. The first week happens, and 2 weeks later, here we are.
Just nuts. Just time. Freaking concepts. So anyway, what are we talking about today?
Stupid Gregorian calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, we're not talking about that. So, I have a story.
Oh, okay.
When my son was about 2 years old, give or take, we were trying to teach him about 911. And we asked him the question, when you're in trouble, who do you call? And his immediate response was Ghostbusters.
I also would have accepted DW, short for Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. So today we're talking about Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And so I'm going to kind of touch on the franchise as a whole, not just the 84 movie. Although, mwah, chef's kiss. I love the original Ghostbusters.
Masterpiece.
It is. So for those of you who, first off, welcome. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, the Week 3 podcast is something that happens every third week of the month where Darren and I take turns discussing things that we enjoy.
Yeah.
So this month it's my turn, and so I'm going to talk about Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is a movie, TV show, video game franchise of the supernatural horror comedy genre. The original movie in 84 starred Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson as the Ghostbusters. It was written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and directed and produced by Ivan Reitman. Now, apparently, Dan Aykroyd has had a history of coming up with these grand ideas and then writing treatments for them that are equal to the New York City phone book in thickness.
Aykroyd's kind of nuts.
He is kind of nuts, yeah. And so then it's up to whomever's in charge of the project, director-wise, to pare it down into a cohesive storyline. But apparently the origin of the story came about when Aykroyd was kind of digging into his family history a little bit, and he found out that during the spiritualism movement in the 20s and 30s, there were people who were going around trying to contact ghosts and that spirits and that sort of thing. And he thought, well, what if these people were in present day with modern technology? And by that, I mean the 80s.
Sure. You know,
what could they accomplish? And so that was the root of the story, along with those old Bob Hope type movies like Ghost Chasers, where they go into a haunted house and they, you know, try and figure out what's spooking up the joint.
Now, this is not to be confused with the other Ghostbusters franchise.
I will get to that.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, no. Man.
We are talking about, you know, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. You know, them.
Not that freaking gorilla.
Again, we'll get to that.
Good.
So the franchise started out with the 1984 movie. And as you put it, in the 60s, I want to say, 60s or 70s, there was a TV show called Ghostbusters, where two guys and their gorilla would, it was a, you know, monster of the week kind of thing. They would show up Scooby-Doo style, they'd get a phone call, they'd go to the place, and monster of the week would be either a vampire or a werewolf or a ghost or whatever, and then they would try to, get rid of said thing. When they were filming Ghostbusters, they knew they wanted to use the name Ghostbusters, but Sony didn't have the rights to that name because it was owned by somebody else because of the TV show. And so while they were trying to figure out that, they actually shot two versions of several scenes, one with the name Ghostbusters and one with the name Ghost Breakers. So, yeah. So the scene where they're hanging the sign up in front of the building and Venkman's out there looking at it, and Ray shows up with the what would soon be Ecto-1, and they're hanging the banner that says Ghostbusters. They shot that, and then they shot another one with the banner Ghost Breakers.
Nice.
And I think they had the TV commercial. They had to do two takes of that, Ghostbusters and Ghost Breakers. The tipping point as to what they were going to use came the scene at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, where the Ghostbusters roll up to the apartment building that Zool's, that Gozer's temple is on top of. And the crowd is just out there chanting, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters. How are you going to yell cut on that and then go, okay, everybody, now we need you to say Ghostbreakers.
I mean, you do.
One of the production assistants actually was ran to a nearby phone booth, called the studio, and held the phone out, say, listen to this. This is the movie. We have to get this name. And so through some legal mumbo jumbo, they were allowed to use the name Ghostbusters.
It's much better.
It is. That, however, did not translate into cartoons. Because Filmation, most notable for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, had the rights to the TV show. And with the popularity of the Ghostbusters movie, they thought, well, we can cash in on this. And so they made their own cartoon based on that old TV show. Where you got... go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I had never heard of this version until I started dating the woman who is now my spouse. And we sat down and we watched one episode.
It does not age well.
Oh, no. Oh, not at all.
As a kid, I loved the cartoon. There is a picture of me holding the action figures of those Ghostbusters. And I also had action figures of the other Ghostbusters, you know, because reasons. I mean, in Filmation's Ghostbusters, they had a talking car. Who would? And they had this whole sequence of, you know, suiting up for battle. And it was just, to a five-year-old, it was just the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So Filmation thought, well, we can cash in on this. So they made just a cartoon called Ghostbusters because they could. They had the rights to that name for a cartoon, which is why you have the real Ghostbusters cartoon based on the movie because, well, we can't just call it Ghostbusters, so we're going to put a little jab at it.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of shade being tossed their way.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Fun fact about that. Ernie Hudson auditioned to play Winston in the cartoon, but they said, no, you don't sound enough like him, so they got Arsenio Hall. Another fun fact about the cartoon. Lorenzo Music was the original voice of Peter Venkman, who is also Garfield the Cat.
Yeah, that one I knew.
Bill Murray, upon, you know, finally watching some cartoons, goes, why do I sound like Garfield? I don't like this. It's because it is Garfield. So in later seasons, Lorenzo Music was replaced by Dave Coulier.
And Bill Murray would go on to voice Garfield, and the circle is now complete.
And this, yes, the snake eats its own tail, as they say. Fun fact about that. Bill Murray only signed up for it because it was directed by, I believe, the Wachowskis, but not the Matrix Wachowskis. He thought, oh, this will be great. Oh, it's not. Well, I'm already obligated, so.
Do your research, kids.
Do your research, kids. So the first Ghostbusters is just, it's breaking the bank. It is gangbusters. It is amazing. Everybody loves it. So, you know, several years later, they did a sequel. It wasn't quite as well received, but it was okay, you know.
I liked it.
It's good. It hit on this, you know, evil takes over New York City. The Ghostbusters have to, you know. I like the fact that after the initial push in the first movie, everything kind of died down and they kind of started losing business and nobody wanted to deal with them anymore. Fun fact, that snot-nosed little kid in the beginning of the movie who's telling Ray and Winston that they're full of crap at the birthday party, that's Ivan Reitman's son, Jason Reitman.
What a little asshole.
Who would later go on to write and direct Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I liked Afterlife, but I stand by what I said.
Yeah. And he had a very small cameo as a toddler or a smaller child in the first Ghostbusters in the crowd. And just, you know, so Jason's been involved with almost every single Ghostbusters movie.
He's like, I am just as involved.
Yes. So following the main continuity, you've got Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, and then in 2021, they did Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I had my doubts about this movie because so much time has passed and you can't capture lightning in a bottle again. But damned if I didn't love it.
It was great. It was
great.
There are very few times where child actors impress me.
Yes.
Maybe it's the crotchety old man in me, but the girl they got to play the main character, I'm not going to spoil it, but the girl they got to play the main character is just phenomenal.
Yeah. And I was more worried about what they were going to do with Egon, because by this point, Harold Ramis had passed away.
Right.
And they address that in the movie. So I'm going to spoil like the first 5 minutes.
Sure.
Egon dies. They have a, you know, you only see him in silhouette and kind of shadow and whatever. So you know it's him by context clues. And they find a way to kill him, kill Egon, and progress the story. Like, okay, fine. Well, more spoilers for the end. You see Egon's ghost. And I teared up when I saw it.
I did too.
And I found out that what the production company did was they took the 84 Ghostbusters and they digitized it and they made a CGI Harold Ramis and they put him in the film and then they would tweak it and put him in the film and they kept tweaking and putting him into the film until you could not tell if you were watching actual Harold Ramis or digital Harold Ramis.
It was a quite remarkable feat that they pulled off there.
It was. And they chose to not have him speak because that would have kind of also ruined the magic.
Yeah.
Something else that they did was rather than make him look like Harold Ramis did towards the end of his life, they basically took Egon and aged him up to, I guess he'd be in his 60s, 70s, somewhere in there.
Yeah, probably around 60s, I want to say.
Yeah. And they also gave his family, the Ramis family, final say on what the model looked like. Because it's still his likeness, just, you know, not exactly Harold as he was towards the end of his life. And
right.
That to me was a nice touch. It's like, here, you know, does this work? And they were like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, Afterlife was a much better Ghostbusters sequel than the one that came before it.
Yeah, there's also the 2016 reboot, which starred the all-female cast. Now, it wasn't a bad movie.
No, it wasn't bad.
When you compare it to the 84 Ghostbusters, it doesn't stand up because you're at that point you're comparing apples and oranges. But as a standalone movie, while not perfect, it's not horrible.
Yeah, I would say that, and in international markets, it's known as Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Yes.
I would say that the big difference for me is that one felt more mean-spirited, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they
like were a lot of the humor is more abrasive and kind of poking fun at each other as opposed to just being silly for the sake of being silly.
It is more of a modern take on comedy than...
Right.
Yeah, not quite cringe comedy, but, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of the less said about that, the better. But it's not a bad movie. I do feel like some of the cameos were forced.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Sigourney Weaver's just at the very end. It was almost like a throwaway. It's like, oh, good, you're here. Put this on. Stand there. Say these lines. Cut. You're good.
Yeah.
You've got the cartoon, the real Ghostbusters, and it had a sequel, The Extreme Ghostbusters, which followed kind of, you know, sort of like what a combination of Ghostbusters 2 and Afterlife did with... Things have died down. The Ghostbusters have kind of gone their way. Egon stays at the firehouse to watch over the containment unit. But then things start happening again. So he recruits 3 or 4 younger people to help. And then towards the end, they get the original Ghostbusters back to fight the big bad. And, you know, yay, commercialism.
Yep. Yay, 90s cartoons.
Yay. And there's also going to be a new series on Netflix. I don't know the name of it, but it's going to be CGI. And it's going to be produced by Sony Pictures. And it's I don't know when it's coming. I don't have a name for it yet. But it's something to maybe look forward to. Oh, video games.
Yeah.
This movie spawned... a crap ton of video games.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Everything from the Commodore 64
mm-hmm.
all the way up to the PlayStation 5, Xbox One, you know. So, you know, as long as video games have been around, basically, yeah. There's been a Ghostbusters game on every platform.
Worth noting, the PS3/PS4 release, Xbox 360, Wii, it was just called Ghostbusters, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
That was treated like essentially Ghostbusters 3 because it had some of the same writers that had the same cast, you know, lending their voices. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Ghostbusters on the NES can go die in a fire.
Yeah. So... yeah, I mean, a lot of the old games just are crap.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different games between 84 and 87 just called Ghostbusters on as many different systems, and none of them are the same.
I understand the Sega Genesis one was all right. I never played it.
And then you've got games based on the real Ghostbusters, and then based on Ghostbusters 2, and then there's one called New Ghostbusters 2. Seriously, New Ghostbusters 2.
I will say the Ghostbusters 2 NES version was pretty good. I mean, the one based on the first movie was just a haunted dumpster fire. Ghostbusters 2 on the NES was all right.
Going back to Ghostbusters, the video game, the one that was originally released on for
the like PS3.
PS3 and the Wii and
the 360.
That was an amazing game. And yeah, they did basically treat it like a third original Ghostbusters movie. And it was... completed before Harold Ramis passed away, so he's in it as Egon. So Dan Aykroyd had tried to come up with a script treatment for a third Ghostbusters movie and wasn't really getting anywhere. In fact, rumor has it at one point he sent it to Bill Murray and Bill Murray sent it back to him shredded. You know, he had this big idea of Ghostbusters going to hell and fighting demons and stuff like that, and they couldn't get it off the ground. Well, some aspects of that were used, some aspects from one of those treatments were used in the making of the video game, and I liked how they set it after Ghostbusters 2 for you know, quote, continuity's sake.
Right.
I love that they gave Winston a doctorate at that point. It's like he is, because when in the 84 movie, he's the civilian. He's the audience, you know, stepping in. But by the time you get to the video game, all four of them have doctorates, and that's great. He is Dr. Zedmore.
And if you, for whatever reason, missed out on the original release, it's now been ported to the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Steam. I believe the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, yeah. PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Steam, and it's been remastered. So it's not just ported over. It has been, you know, kind of cleaned up and whatever. Now, that being said, if you like, you know, older games and you want to see what the original looked like, get the PS3 Xbox version. Do not touch the Wii version because they look very cartoony because of the Wii's graphics capabilities versus the PS3's, which looked human.
Nintendo's gonna Nintendo.
Nintendo's gonna Nintendo, yes. Now, that being said, the remastered is the more high quality upscale, oh, they look human one. And even on the Switch, they kept that. Then there's comic books.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, in the 80s, Now Comics, which also did the Ninja Turtles comic books from, you know, based on the cartoon, also did a run of Real Ghostbuster comic books and then Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. I had a few of those.
Okay.
IDW took over publishing rights in the late 2000s and has pretty consistently released a bunch of, not like one continuous story arc, but a bunch of mini arcs.
IDW has been just phenomenal on all of the nostalgic properties they've gotten a hold of, whether it's the Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, heck, freaking My Little Pony. They just knocked it out of the park every time.
Oh, yeah. IDW is great. So I highly recommend going to check out the IDW releases of the Ghostbusters. This is one of my absolute favorite movies ever. I have, and franchise, I have a shelf in my basement man cave dedicated to nothing but Ghostbusters. There's the Lego Ecto-1. There's the action figures from the Real Ghostbusters. There's, you know, there's just a whole bunch of stuff, and I absolutely adore this movie and this franchise. Now, we touched on the 2016, you know, reboot and how it was okay, and I came up with kind of a headcanon for it.
Okay.
So this is just my personal take on everything. Towards the end of 84 Ghostbusters, they cross the streams into the portal to get rid of Gozer. At that point, they create a Ghostbusters multiverse.
Of course.
Which spawns the Real Ghostbusters cartoon, the 2016 reboot, the IDW comic books, everything. So it's like, okay, it's Ghostbusters, but it's not Ghostbusters Prime. You can like it or not like it, but it's still Ghostbusters, just in an alternate universe.
So, all right, is there an Earth Filmation out there in the Ghostbusters multiverse?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Anything Ghostbusters related, even if it's in name only, part of the multiverse.
All right.
Like it or not, it's there.
I would love to subscribe to your newsletter.
Ghostbusters is such a cultural phenomenon that there are groups of Ghostbusters throughout the country. Like, they get together, they have uniforms, they design patches with the ghost symbol. By the way, the ghost in the Ghostbuster symbol?
Yeah.
His name's Moogly.
Didn't know he had a name.
He's got a name, yeah.
Moogly, all right.
Moogly, yeah. So they design their own patches that incorporate the no ghost symbol and something to make it unique to their area.
So they're kind of like the 501st Legion.
Yes, like you have, okay, you know, legions of stormtroopers in every part of the country and maybe even the world, Ghostbusters too. And that is phenomenal. And they'll go to cons and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just, Ghostbusters is just one of those fun things that I have always loved.
Awesome. And yeah, I've never had a bad Ghostbusters experience. Unless it's on the NES.
Yeah. Like I said, even the video games, part of the multiverse. You don't have to like it, but it's there.
That's fair.
So that's all I got to talk about this week. I guess it's your turn next.
Oh, yeah. I've got something. I'm feeling a little loony.
Oh, boy. Well, with that, I invite you to check out our other podcasts. The Geek Cave Podcast, which drops the first week of the month. Comics, video games, movies. You've also got You Want Me to Watch What? Where Chad and I recommend movies to each other that the other hasn't seen. On YouTube, you've got Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays, the occasional TLDR and Geek Cave Chats. Then everything's on the website, let's not forget that, where you can find links to all of our social media, including the Discord. Stop in and say hi, we'd love to see you. Darren, have I forgotten anything?
No, I will say one thing. While you're at geekcavepodcast.com, be sure to check out our Extra Life 2023 effort.
Yes.
Because we are slowly but steadily adding prizes to this year's effort. In fact, I believe we just got a digital download code for The Batman from Warner Brothers. So if you have not seen Robert Pattinson, or if you just want to see Pattinson again, then be sure to donate to Extra Life.
Yep. I know it's May 2023 when this is originally releasing, but October will be here before you know it.
Batman.
So, yeah, your turn next, and see you later.
Bye.
Bye.